Brethren, St. Helena, California, May 14, 1890. Dear brethren, I have been deeply burdened in regard to the manner in which Volume 4, or The Great Controversy, has been treated by our canvassers, because it has so long been kept from the field. It is nearly 2 years since the new edition was completed, and but little has been done to bring it before the people. I was moved by the Spirit of the Lord to write that book, and while working upon it, I felt a great burden upon my soul. I knew that time was short, that the scenes which are soon to crowd upon us would at the last come very suddenly and swiftly, as represented in the words of the Scripture. The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2. The Lord has set before me matters which are of urgent importance for the present time, and which reach into the future. The words have been spoken in a charge to me. Write in a book the things which thou hast seen and heard, and let it go to all people. For the time is at hand when past history will be repeated. I have been aroused at 1, 2, or 3 o'clock in the morning, with some point forcibly impressed upon my mind, as if spoken by the voice of God. I have shown that many of our own people were asleep in their sins, and although they claimed to be Christians, they would perish unless they were converted. The solemn impressions made upon my mind as the truth was laid out in clear lines before me, I tried to bring before others, that each might feel the necessity of having a religious experience for himself, of having a knowledge of the Savior for himself, of seeking repentance, faith, love, hope, and holiness for himself. I was assured that there was no time to lose. The appeals and warnings must be given. Our churches must be aroused, must be instructed, that they may give the warning to all whom they can possibly reach, declaring that the sword is coming, that the Lord's anger upon a profligate world will not long be deferred. I was shown that many would listen to the warning. Their minds would be prepared to discern the very things that it pointed out to them. I was shown that much of my time had been occupied in speaking to the people, when it was more essential that I should devote myself to writing out the important matters for Volume 4. That the warning must go where the living messenger could not go, and that it would call the attention of many to the important events to occur in the closing scenes of this world's history. As the condition of the church and the world was open before me, and I beheld the fearful scenes that lie just before us, I was alarmed at the outlook. And night after night, while all in the house were sleeping, I wrote out the things given me of God. I was shown the heresies which are to arise, the delusions that will prevail, the miracle-working power of Satan, the false Christs that will appear, that will deceive the greater part even of the religious world, and that would, if it were possible, draw away even the elect. Is this work of the Lord? I know that it is, and our people also profess to believe it. The warning and instruction of this book are needed by all who profess to believe the present truth, and the book is adapted to go also to the world, calling their attention to the solemn scenes just before us. You, my brethren, took the responsibility of seeing that it was put in circulation. But about the time when the new edition of Volume 4 came from the press, the new work, Bible Readings, was introduced. This book has had a great sale, and has been permitted to swallow up every interest. Canvassers found it an easy book to handle, and Volume 4 was kept out of the field. I felt that this was not right. I know that it was not right, because it was not in harmony with the light which God had given me. I talked with Captain Eldridge and with Frank Belden while he was engaged in training canvassers, but the only response I could get was, "We cannot do anything in this matter until Bible Readings has had its run. Then we will take hold of Volume 4 and give it the field." Last fall, I was promised that in the spring, a special effort should be made to push Volume 4. My answer was, "Brethren, I dare not wait so long." I could not understand why such delay was necessary. The reasons given were of no weight to me. I felt that if my brethren understood and appreciated the subject matter which the Lord had presented before me and bidden me to write, their excuses would have appeared very small to their own minds. They said that the canvassers were unwilling to take Volume 4, because they could sell Bible readings so much more readily, and hence could do better financially. I answered, "Brethren, I cannot understand why, if this matter is set before our canvassers in the right light, they would not work for the book which ought to come before the world."
I groaned in spirit, for I knew from the conversation I had had that my brethren in positions of trust at the office of publication had no sense of the real perils which are soon to break upon us. While many are, in spirit and action, saying, "Peace and safety," sudden destruction will come upon them. Verse 3. For nearly 2 years, the book containing warnings and instruction from the Lord, given especially for this time, has been lying in our publishing houses, and no one feels the necessity or importance of bringing it before the people. Brethren, how long am I to wait for you to get the burden? Now, Volume 1, or Patriarchs and Prophets, is ready for circulation, but even for this book, I will not allow Volume 4 to remain longer as a light under a bushel. I am in sore distress of mind, but who of my brethren cares for this? Has the Lord moved upon my mind to prepare this work to be sent everywhere? And is He moving upon my brethren to devise plans which shall bar the way, so that the light which He has given me shall be hid in our publishing houses, instead of shining forth to enlighten all who will receive it? It is now urged that only one book at a time should have a place in the canvassing field, that all the canvassers should work for the same book. I do not see the force or propriety of this. If the Lord has light for His people, who shall venture to put up barriers so that the light shall not reach them? One book is published at little expense, and therefore sold cheaply. Other works that present truths essential at this time have involved greater expense. Shall they therefore be kept from the people? Bible Readings is a good book to occupy its own place, but should not be permitted to crowd out other important works which the people need. The presidents of our conferences have a duty to do. Our board of directors should have something to say in this matter, that the different branches of the work of God may receive equal attention. If our canvassers are controlled by the prospect of financial gain, if they circulate the book on which they can make the most money, to the neglect of others that the people need, I ask, in what sense is theirs a missionary work? Where is the missionary spirit, the spirit of self-sacrifice? The work of the intelligent, God-fearing canvasser has been represented as equal to that of the gospel minister. Then should the canvasser, any more than the minister, feel at liberty to act from selfish motives? Should he turn his back on all the principles of missionary work and handle the book placed before him, shall I say, as a temptation on which he can make the most money? Shall he have no interest to circulate any book but that which brings him the greatest financial gain? How is the missionary spirit revealed here? Has not the canvassing work ceased to be what it ought to be? How is it that no voice is raised to correct this state of things? If there are reasons back of all this, if the publishing houses exert an influence to favor this state of things because they receive greater financial benefit thereby, this should be searched out. I have carried the burden as long as I can. It is wearing away my life. Many have asked me if I was not getting rich by the sale of my books. Far from it. I invested about $3,000 in the new edition of Volume 4. I own the plates, and it was agreed that I should receive 15 cents a copy on the books. Then the publishers represented to me how little the publishing houses made in handling the books. I finally consented to accept 12.5 cents, being assured that they would throw their interest and energy into circulating the book, and that the large editions sold would bring me back all that I had invested, and much more, to help pay the expense of publishing other works which were in preparation. But soon after I consented to take 12.5 cents, Bible readings came from the press, and it was decided to carry that book almost exclusively until the market was supplied. Thus, instead of giving Volume 4 an equal chance with Bible readings, the managers allowed it no place at all. During my stay in Europe, I spent freely my own means to advance the various interests of the cause. Since my return to America, I have invested $1,600 in various branches of the work, expecting that the sale of my books would supply the necessary means. But instead of this, I have been obliged to borrow the money to pay interest upon it. If I publish new books, I must have money to pay my helpers, who assist in preparing the matter for the press. Then there is the cost of typesetting, making plates, illustrations, etc., etc. All these things require money. Now, what am I to do? Shall I dismiss my helpers? Stop publishing?
The managers of the Review and Herald could not be ignorant of my financial situation. But what interest have they shown to change this order of things? I thank them for permitting me to draw money to carry on the work, but their course in regard to the circulation of my books has made it a necessity for me to speak. I cannot be clear and keep silent. I cannot have confidence to leave these matters, which to me involves so much, to their discretionary power when I am brought into constant embarrassment. I have less confidence in their management than I have had, for I cannot believe that the Lord leads them to pursue the course they have taken. Letters have come to me with such questions and statements as the following. Senior, White, why is every canvasser working for Bible readings? I was canvassing for Volume 4, but the president of our conference advised me to take Bible readings. I received a rich blessing in canvassing for Volume 4. I had success and thought I would throw my whole energy into the work of bringing that book before the people. Everyone who bought it was pleased with it, and some purchased a second copy to give to their friends. But I was told that all the canvassers were working for Bible readings, and as this seemed to be the order of things, I took that book. Would it not be pleasing to the Lord for me again to take up Volume 4? It certainly would be a mistake for our canvassers if, with proper instruction and having the matter set before them in its true bearings, they would choose to give the field entirely to Bible readings, to the neglect of Volume 4. If it should prove that they will not receive counsel, if they are unwilling to do the work so essential at this time to bring before the people the very books that the world should have, then there is only one course left for me. That is, to raise and train a company of canvassers for this special work. Men and women who shall work not merely to please themselves, not merely for gain, but to do the work of God, to bring before the people the warnings of God to them. This I proposed to do some time since, but was urged to wait a little. Some of the leaders in the canvassing work felt that it would not be the right thing for me to have a separate canvassing company organized, that it would throw things into confusion. Then the promise was given that last spring the canvass for Volume 4 should be pushed as that for Bible readings had been. I believe that our brethren meant to do just as they said, but why did they not do it? I waited, but nothing has been done. Now, if the leading brethren give it as a hopeless task, I will wait no longer for them to turn the tide. I still believe that those who are working in the canvassing field will see their duty when the situation is fairly placed before them. I speak to you who are engaged in the canvassing work,
Have you read Volume 4? Do you know what it contains? Have you any appreciation of the subject matter? Do you not see that the people need the light therein given? If you have not already done so, I entreat you to read carefully these solemn warnings and appeals. I am sure that the Lord would have this work carried into all the highways and byways where our souls to be warned of the danger so soon to come. I spoke before our general conference in regard to this matter. I spoke before the canvassing class, but as there was no one to take up the matter and carry it forward, nothing has been done. How long my brethren at headquarters at Battle Creek will deem it best to wait before doing anything, I cannot tell. But I appeal to our brethren everywhere to speak abroad the light which God has given to his people. When I think of the end so near, and think that the light given me of God is not permitted to come before the people, I am in great distress of mind. When I awake at an hour of the night, my heart is filled with such grief that I cannot close my eyes to sleep. A feeling of anxiety, of remorse, has pressed upon me, as though this delay in the circulation of Volume 4 was due to some neglect on my part. And my burden does not decrease, in the least, as time passes and nothing is done. I seem to be bound about by rules or customs or something which I cannot define, so that I am powerless to do anything. And those who are in responsible positions are themselves taking no burden of the matter.
Brethren, you are urging me to come to your camp meetings. I must tell you plainly that the course pursued toward me and my work since the General Conference at Minneapolis, your resistance of the light and warnings that God has given through me, has made my labor 50 times harder than it would otherwise have been. I find that my words have far less influence upon the minds of our people than upon unbelievers, whose hearts have not been hardened by rejecting the light. I have no word from the Lord to labor for you in the camp meetings, to repeat to you, little by little, that which, at great cost and labor, I have published for your benefit. As you feel no burden to obtain and circulate the books, I feel that my oral testimony would make no lasting impression. I have no courage to meet you in camp meeting. It seems to me that you have cast aside the word of the Lord as unworthy of your notice. The course pursued toward Volume 4 has confirmed the word of the Lord which has been given me, that men were occupying responsible positions who were not working where God was working, that the testimony of the Spirit of God had no special sacredness to them unless it sanctioned their ideas and actions. Anything not in harmony with their ideas, they did not receive. Had they realized the importance of the light given me of God, would they have let the message of appeal and warning lie buried in the office of publication, while they only expressed regret and did nothing to change the order of things? Brethren, you may think that your course in this matter does not justify me in speaking plainly as I do, but the time has come for me to speak, and I refuse to keep silent longer. I cannot but feel that the enemy has warped your conscience and beclouded your minds. My oral testimony will do you no good while you stand where you now are. I have been shown that men in responsible positions should be men who are not controlled by impulse, men whose conscience is quickened by habitual communion with Christ, men who bow in reverence to the divine standard of righteousness. Pure and undefiled religion should preside over their practice. They should honor God by honoring the light He sends them, by practicing the principles laid before them, and shunning everything unfair and unjust. Such men will not neglect important interests which are under their guardianship, and whose success or failure depends on their management. They will not, for the sake of immediate financial advantage,
let the light given of heaven be excluded from the people. They will be braced for duty to the truth of God, and no influence from any source, no entreaties or favor, can induce them to turn from the work which they know to be just and consistent. I tell you, in the fear of God, I have held my peace as long as I dare to do so. I shall no longer trust in your hands important interests which mean so much to me, if you continue to treat them with such indifference as you have manifested. If you do not intend to work to get Volume 4 before the people, why did you not say at the outset, Senior White, we do not regard the books you have written as of any great importance? We will handle books that bring more money to the publishing house, and will allow you to bring your books before the people the best way you can. We do not see any special need of hurry in getting them before the world. If you had done this, you would have dealt more honorably with me. You know I needed the money which the sale of my books would bring. You undertook to manage the sale for me, and if I have been justly dealt with, I have yet too. I have now several works which will soon be ready for sale. But what reason have I to hope that you will feel any more burden to circulate them than you have manifested for Volume 4? I know that God has moved upon me to write, and now, if it is left for me to take up the burden of bringing these books to the attention of the people, I can do this, though I know that the work ought to rest upon others. Now, I ask my brethren, are matters to continue as they have been for the last 2 years? I wish to know now, because I shall feel it my duty at once to take up the book you manifest no interest in. If I had only understood at the outset the turn that was to be given to Bible readings, I could have taken my work into my own hands and thus have saved this long delay. My children have counseled me to wait a while longer before speaking out, but I dare not do so. I have looked and waited for someone to place Volume 4 in the position it should be, until hope has died out of my heart.
After carrying the burden of writing the book and getting it through the press, I trusted that I could then lay it in the hands of my brethren, that they would understand and appreciate its importance, and would take up their part of the work without any urging from me. But if I alone have been made to feel the sacred, solemn importance of scattering the rays of light for this time of peril, may the Lord strengthen me for the work. I will delay no longer, but will look to the captain of my salvation and promptly obey. I ask the presidents of the several conferences if they will have some interest to correct the wrong tendencies manifested in our canvassing work. Show the canvassers that they should not carry things to extremes, that they should not drop the very books that the people are in suffering need of, and push a new work which can fill only a limited sphere, thus shutting away from the people the special warnings which God has sent to them for this time. I have evidence that the Lord impresses the hearts of those who read what is written in Volume 4, concerning those scenes of thrilling interest, the things that are and that shall be. If those who claim to believe the third angel's message would carefully and prayerfully read the important, solemn truths that relate to this time as presented in Volume 4, and would give heed to them, they would be led to search the Scriptures more earnestly and prayerfully, and would better comprehend the Word of God and the trying scenes just before us. As I have seen the course that has been taken for the last 2 years, I have waited and prayed and said to my soul, "The Lord will set this matter right." But I know that our brethren are not doing their duty. What courage have I to attend camp meetings? What reason have I to hope that my testimony will now be received and respected any more than Volume 4 has been? My experience since the conference at Minneapolis has not been very assuring. I have asked the Lord for wisdom daily,
and that I may not be utterly disheartened and go down to the grave broken-hearted, as did my husband.